of our improved consultations with Stats SA, the DPME, the MRC, and then also the National Committee for Confidential Inquiries into the maternal deaths. These are some of the stakeholders that we sometimes consult, and we'll ensure that for the next 5 years in the MTSF plan going forward, when we decide on a focus area, we've done those consultations, including with the portfolio committee as well. Thank you, Chair.
I think this is the second set of slides. We had sent two separate sets of slides. So there was a first set that says the department's identities, and then there was a set that says health sector. Okay. I'm going to request that the managers follow up on the slides. Okay. Oh, okay. I will then hand over to my colleague.
What we do not have, honourable members, are printed copies, but you did receive it electronically. Look, we have also distributed it. Look at your electronic version and your where you keep your electronic stuff is there. No, you only have this one. Yeah. Go back there.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. I will be taking you through the health sector, and I would ask that you follow on the screen until such a time as you have it in front of you. So if you go to, if you look on the screen on slide 5, the graph is depicting the audit outcomes over the past 5 years. And you will note that there's been a regression within the health sector.
Hold on there. Honorable Kwakhube.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Look at that slide. Don't start to be too happy. And then I'm just teasing you. Look at that slide. And then just hold your horses. There are certain good things that are happening there, but we take a collective ownership of it as a country, okay?
Okay, so it shows an overall picture over the past 5 years, and you will note that there is a regression with the audit outcomes because of the Eastern Cape and the Free State, which has moved from a unqualified with findings audit opinion to audit outcome to a qualified audit outcome. You will note as well that the Western Cape was the only province that was able to obtain an improved audit outcome. Yes, and you will also note that the Northern Cape is indicated as outstanding because of the implementation of the PAA amendments. It significantly impacted on the province being able to finalize their audit process. So if we move on to the next slide, slide number 6. This relates to the credibility of the financial reporting. As my colleague mentioned earlier, this looks at the financial statements that were submitted. Was it 1 plus 2 equals 3? And you will note that all of the provinces were able to submit, all of the departments were able to submit their financial statements within the legislated time. However, with the exception of the Western Cape, all the departments submitted financial statements that had material errors. At the end of the financial process, an additional two departments, being the National Department of Health and the Gauteng Provincial Department, were able to submit financial statements, were able to make amendments to their financial statements in order to receive an unqualified audit opinion. Okay, the top three qualification areas were the contingent liabilities, was commitments, and as well movable tangible capital assets. We can move on to the next slide.
I'll interrupt you as we go along, because we're not going to stay too long on this presentation. Colleagues, let us note that very important statement. AG is saying to the departments, please prepare your presentations, bring it to us on this date. If you do so, we have an advantage that you can look into your work, and if there's certain corrections that you need to make, you do so. 20% of those, which is Gauteng and National, the rest of the other people presented the material so late that the AG never had time to even say, go and correct 1, 2, 3, 4 before the deadline. It's a very important point to note, was it is happening time immemorial.
Okay. Thank you, Honorable Chair. On the next slide, which is slide number 7, it relates to the credibility of the performance reporting. All of the departments submitted their annual performance report with material errors. At the end of the audit process, only the Western Cape was able to make amendments to the material errors that were noted, and as a result, material findings were not raised in the audit report. And that is why then they didn't receive any material findings at the end of the audit outcomes. The findings that were raised were on the reliability of the achievements that were reported in the annual performance reports, and as well on the usefulness of their indicators and their targets. We can move on to the next slide, which is page 8. On this slide, it depicts the compliance with regards to key legislation. You will note the graph depicts a stagnation of compliance with key legislation. The most common findings that we raised was on the quality of financial statements. As I mentioned earlier, were you able to provide us with financial statements that were free from material errors? And you will note that out of the 9 departments, only eight had this finding on compliance of financial statements. The other findings that we raised was on a lack of expenditure management to prevent unauthorized expenditure, irregular expenditure, and fruitless and wasteful expenditure. This was 7 out of the 9 provinces, as well as management of procurement and contract management. This is just a highlight of some of the findings that we raised. There's a lot that you can refer to on the slide. We can move on to the next slide. This slide deals with the unauthorized expenditure and irregular expenditure that was incurred in the current year for the sector. So you will note that for unauthorized expenditure, it classifies it as expenditure that's not in accordance with the budget vote or overspending on the budget or the specific program. So in the current financial year, the expenditure, the total expenditure that was incurred was 546 million, as opposed to the prior year, which was 275 million. The biggest contributor being the Eastern Cape, who incurred 510 million. And this was mainly due to this was mainly due to the medical legal claims that were paid in the current financial year. If you move on to irregular expenditure,
dear colleagues, we need not to waste time. This province did not budget for this, and yet they were, even if you are clean today and you think you have got all the ducks in a row, you are being taken to court by the things that happened 15 years ago. So you cannot not budget for this, because even if you are coming in now and say, I'm such an efficient manager, no claims are going to take place this year. They take place up to 21 years prior to that. So a person was actually injured today on birth, a baby, 21 years ago, we still claim. So it is something that we need to prove to say, departments, still do budget for this, because otherwise it's something that you need to pay for, but you have not really been authorized, because you didn't budget for this line item. Eastern Cape.
Okay. Thank you, Honorable Chair. We can move on to irregular expenditure, which depicts that the total expenditure, irregular expenditure incurred for the current year was 7.3 billion as opposed to 5.5 billion in the previous year. Okay. Okay, so as we had indicated, this is a highlight of what has happened in the health sector. So we can then move on to the E&E key programs, where I will also just give an overview of what are the issues that we identified within the key program. Okay. It's estimated national expenditure.
That's not an acceptable known abbreviation. Yeah.
Okay.
So always talk about it so that we can know what we are talking about.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. So as we have been discussing this morning, you would have noted that the HIV and AIDS program is a very key program within the health sector. So we, as the Auditor General, we selected the program to look at how is the program performing. This program is funded by the HIV and AIDS grant from the National Treasury, and the total budget for the HIV and AIDS program was 20.4 billion. 19.9 billion of which is transferred to the provinces as a conditional grant. So if we look at the key priorities that we decided to select, we selected only three, that being the patient initiated and remaining on ART, and we looked at the four customized indicators, and we also looked at condoms distributed, and we only looked at male condom distribution indicator, which is also a customized indicator. And the third key priority that we looked at was prevention of mother-to-child transmission. And we also only looked at one indicator, which is also a customized indicator. Okay, we can move on to slide number.
Thank you, Chair. With your permission and indulgence, I assume that the committee and honorable members also understand the customized indicator for us. The reason why we selected the customized indicator is the one that's across all the provinces. So therefore, from a consistency point of view, that's why we selected it. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. We can move on to slide number 13. On this slide, number 13, the next one. On this slide, it shows the different areas that we looked at, which would have been your financial management, your compliance areas, and your predetermined objectives. So as I had explained earlier, the total budget that went to the provinces as a conditional grant was 19.9 billion. Of that 19.9 billion, the three key priorities that we selected, the total budget for those key priorities was 14.9 billion. Of which they spent 14.6 billion in order to execute their mandate on this key program. We noted that there was an overall over expenditure on the condoms distribution by 14%, and there was also a 28% under expenditure on the PMTCT, as indicated in the previous slides. PMTCT means the prevention of mother-to-child transmission. Okay. So if we, with regards to the financial management, when we were looking at the transactions that they've recorded in their financial statements, there were no issues that we identified in that regard. But as you move on to compliance, we did note that there was irregular expenditure of 226 million in the Gauteng province, and this is because they did not spend their allocation in line with their business plan that they had submitted. If we move on to the predetermined objectives, with regards to the how they reported their indicators, their achievements, I beg your pardon, we were unable to determine whether those reported achievements were valid, accurate, and complete. And this is because they had inadequate or the absence of internal controls in the processes of their performance reporting. Okay, with regards to the achievements within the key priority, the first key priority, which is the, I beg your pardon, which is the patient initiated and remaining on AFT. Out of the four indicators, with the three indicators, the majority of the provinces were not able to achieve on those indicators. With regards to key priority two, which is the condoms distribution, male condoms distributed, the majority of the provinces, with the exception of the Gauteng province, were not able to achieve on their planned targets. With regards to key priority three, this being prevention of mother-to-child transmission, with this indicator, the provinces achieved and in most cases overachieved on this indicator. And in a nutshell, that is the overview of how the provinces performed on the HIV and AIDS program. I will hand over to my other colleagues who will take you through the sector focus areas. These were our experts on the areas.
Equipment. Who's dealing with that?
Yeah, I'll take. Thank you, Honourable Chair and members. So this is the section that we focus on service delivery. So for this year, we focused on the radiology equipment, the management of medical records, as well as infrastructure delivery. The picture in front of you is just the four pillars in terms of the healthcare system. This is the key enablers that should be in place so that service delivery happens at the end of the day. So it's important that human resource management are in place, supply chain management are in place, infrastructure and information systems, and then also the finances. So if all those pillars are in place, at the end of the day, there will be service delivery. This is also just a picture over the past few years in terms of the focus areas for our sector work. So I'm going to go over to the first focus area, which was the management of radiology equipment. So for radiology equipment, we selected four hospitals per province, two regional and or tertiary hospitals, and then two district hospitals. So we covered the technology management life cycle of equipment. And that is a circle where you plan and prioritize for equipment, then you procure it, then you have it, you use it, it's operationalized, then you maintain it, if necessary you repair it, and then when it reaches the end of its life cycle, it will be disposed of, and then the circle starts again. So in this slide, we have the six focus areas where we identified some findings in, and I will go through them. The first one is policies and procedures. In general, in all the provinces, there were policies and procedures in place for medical equipment. It was just not always distributed to all the facilities and all implemented or adhered to at facility level. The second focus area is planning, prioritizing, and the procurement of new equipment. That is where a hospital needs to follow a proper planning process, where there's committees in place, there's plans in place, and then a budget is approved based on the need of the services that needs to be delivered in a hospital. And then a procurement plan is ultimately approved. So the findings in terms of this side was that there was annual procurement plans in place, it was approved, but the equipment were not always procured in a timely manner. And as a result thereof, some of the medical equipment were not in place so that a hospital can deliver certain services. The third focus area where we had findings is human resources, high vacancy rates in the radiology departments, and vacancy rates vary between 5% and some of the hospitals up to 83%. And when you look at the vacancies in terms of the radiology department, it was mainly on chief and senior radiographer positions. That is the managerial staff within a department. And also key positions such as your radiologist, mammography staff, and sonographer posts were not filled. In terms of human resources, if you look at root causes, prolonged procurement processes, also in some cases the organograms were not updated to include certain positions. I'm going to take you through the pictures. Picture 1 and 2 is a hospital in Mpumalanga where a new CT scanner and fluoroscopy unit worth 13.2 million has not been used since 2015. And the reason for that was because there was no radiologist appointed at the hospital. This hospital was part of the revitalization grant with the upgrading of the radiology department where new equipment were delivered, but a radiologist was not appointed to operate these. The third picture is a hospital in Limpopo where a fluoroscopy unit was not used since 2015, and the reason for that is also no radiologist appointed at the hospital, and the reason therefore there was no radiologist position on the organogram. Therefore, those positions were not filled. Then on the fourth picture, in Gauteng, where C-arm units were not used optimally, certain C-arm units were not used maybe certain days of the week because of a high vacancy rate in the radiographers. Some of the posts were vacant since 2016. So in terms of the next slide, we can move to the next slide. The focus area on the use of radiology equipment. So we identified some of the radiology equipment that were used, but it required some repairs, but then also there were radiology equipment that were not used at all. Some of the radiology equipment were not used due to infrastructural deficiencies. For example, the air conditioners were not working, so it will go in automatic shutdown, so it will rather not be used, or the building will not be correct for the type of equipment, or UPS or something with the electricity point might be wrong, and then equipment is not used. Radiology equipment not used as there are no need or a demand for it. They do not need, do not need as many mobile X-ray units, and therefore some of them are not used. Radiology equipment not used by staff members as they required some repairs. Some of the radiology equipment was standing there for up to 4 years while it's not being repaired, so therefore it could not be used. Then the next focus area is maintenance and maintenance on equipment, and that is very important for radiology equipment to keep it safe. There's weekly checks, monthly checks, quarterly checks, and then also compulsory annual assurance tests that must be done that is reported to the radiation control, and that was not always done on a timely basis. In some of the cases, some of the machines were sealed because those tests were not sent through to radiation control. Then the last focus area on condemned radiology equipment, where some of the condemned radiology equipment was still standing in a clinical area which could have been used for different for the different needs that might have been in the area, and then also delays in the condemnation process, where hospitals started with the condemnation process, and after many years, the equipment are still standing there. I'm going to take you through the pictures quickly. The first one is a hospital in the Free State, where a CT scanner that requires repairs. It's a CT scanner worth $3.5 million that has not been used since 2015 because it requires repairs. There's another CT scanner in the hospital, but as a result of this one not working, there's long waiting times at the hospital. The second picture in KwaZulu-Natal, infrastructure deficiencies, where a general X-ray unit could not be used because a roof collapsed on the machine during October 2017. Picture 3 is 3, 4 and 5 is just delays in the condemnation process. 3 is equipment that was standing still in the clinical area. That was the condemnation process started in 2013. And the fourth picture, the condemnation process started in 2014. And in the last one, it's a hospital in Northwest where it also went through the hospital revitalization process. Initially, the room was not correct for that specific equipment, and the equipment was not installed. And when we got there during the last audit, the equipment were put outside, and now it's in the process of being condemned. Okay, so that's in terms of the radiology equipment. I will hand over to my colleague for the management of medical records.
Thank you, Jefferson and honorable members. The second focus area looks broadly at medical records, and for this we use the Health Professions Council definition of a medical record, which is any record produced by a healthcare practitioner at the time of or subsequent to patient consultation or healthcare intervention. A record keeping system is regarded as efficient when it ensures that records are available for purposes of continuity of patient care, availability of health statistics and medical research, and also for patients of for purposes of patient administration and billing. Our audits aim to provide insights into whether facilities had sufficient resources available, whether there were policies and procedures in place,
and we again looked at the life cycle of a record at the facility. So from the time that a new patient arrives and has a record created for them, the use of this record, how it is filed, stored, and ultimately archived and disposed of. We visited 37 facilities, which included community health centers and hospitals, and we identified the following findings, again using the similar focus areas that my colleague used. Under policies and procedures, we found that policies and procedures, again, were not always in place for the management of medical records. These may have been developed at national and even at provincial level, but was not always distributed down to the facility. And facilities also reported that there was a lack of support from district officials in the management of medical records, in which relates to records not being, or rather policies and procedures not being distributed down to facility level. We also found a lack of allocation of roles and responsibilities for the management of medical records at facility level and within districts. At some primary healthcare facilities, the facility manager, for instance, would believe that the responsibility for record management lies with the administrative staff instead of having assuming the accountability yourself. Our second focus area is the availability of human resources for the management of medical records. Here, again, we saw high vacancy rates with a minimum of 10 and going up as high as 50%, and this relates particularly to administrative clerks and data capturers, but also we looked at the vacancies for facility managers who are ultimately responsible for record management. There was a lack of adequate planning, coordination, and implementation of training. So relevant staff members were not always aware of the policies and did not receive training and were unable to implement them effectively. Some of the root causes that we identified was that in cases where there were budgetary constraints, vacant posts were often regarded as unfunded and could not be filled. Recruitment processes were also often centralized at the district level. The third focus area looks at the way in which records are created and filed at facility level. So a new record should be created for each new patient that arrives at the facility. And a filing system should be in place that follows the systematic and standardized method so that if a medical record needs to be retrieved, this can be done in a timely manner and does not result in long waiting time for patients. We found that standardized systems were not used to create new records or to update existing medical records with every patient visit. Standardized procedures for the filing and retrieval of medical records were also not always implemented, and this affected 8 out of the 9 provinces. This often resulted because of a lack of stationery, a lack of staff, and because staff was not adequately trained in implementation of the policies. If I can take you through the photos, the first picture, it's a picture of a book, but what happens at this facility in Mpumalanga is that after hours, because of a shortage of staff, there are no clerks available and patient folders are not created. So the visit is recorded in what is called an admission book, which is never transferred to a patient folder, which results in incomplete medical records, but also compromises the confidentiality of the medical information because this book is available to anybody. The second picture at this facility, because of a lack of standard stationery for medical records, the staff issued patients with an A4 booklet, and instead of filing and keeping the information at the facility, patients were allowed to take this record home with them and were expected to bring it along on their next visit, which often didn't happen. We can move on to the next slide. The focus area of storage and retention of medical records. Records should be stored in a safe and lockable environment under conditions that would prevent deterioration of the record itself. What we found was that there was a lack of secured and controlled access to all filing and storage areas. At times, records were stored in areas that were not designated as storage facilities, such as in the passage, in cabinets, and at times the facilities itself did not have sufficient equipment and
in place. That is our next finding, lack of sufficient infrastructure, equipment and furniture to ensure the safe storage of records. Our final focus area under medical records looks at the archiving and disposal of medical records. So when a medical record has been dormant for 2 years, it should be archived and stored in a specific area that's known as the medical record archive. After 6 years of dormancy, this record should be disposed of. And this is an important part of the record cycle because it creates space for new records. As we've identified that lack of sufficient infrastructure is a major root cause, this is one of the important components of the life cycle. There was a lack of implementation of policies and procedures for archiving and disposal, and often the root causes related to staff shortages or staff not being trained. Again, just quickly looking through the pictures, you can see some of the storage practices that we found in Mpumalanga and in Gauteng. The first picture is a hospital in Mpumalanga. Because of a lack of equipment and furniture for storage, those are actually active records, and when the patient arrives at the facility, the administrative staff at the reception have to sort of locate and retrieve the folder from that area. On the second picture, this is at a hospital in Gauteng. There's actually active records in the cabinets at the back of the picture, and the records in the front are archived, should have been archived in a different area, but because of a lack of space and infrastructure, they were just being kept there. And these kind of conditions result in lost and damaged medical records. Again, the third picture just illustrates the conditions under which records are archived. Picture four is a prefabricated structure that's used as storage and archiving. It's outside of the facility. It's not lockable and actually a fire risk for medical records. Okay, I'm going to hand over to my colleague who's going to do infrastructure.
Okay. I'm
going to
do it. It's fine. Okay. Thank you very much, colleagues. So next sector focus area is the infrastructure. For infrastructure, we looked at six focus areas within the infrastructure. You also note that we did make selection from all nine provinces, and then we looked at specifically the follow-up of prior issues. Infrastructure has been a topic for quite a number of years that we have been focusing on. The second one we looked at is also the project completion timelines. We then looked at project management overall from the department side. And then we also looked at the quality of the projects, the utilization of some of the projects, and then also the maintenance, refurbishment, and the rehabilitation. Regarding the follow-up of prior issues, you will note that we reported repeat findings on some of the projects we visited. Some of the repeat findings included stuff as poor project management, poor workmanship, and inadequate monitoring of the project costs and milestones through the infrastructure phase. We then looked at project completion timelines. We looked at the actual, what we identified was that there were poor planning from the department side. We also identified some late approval of the extensions and also lack of supervision of the contractors. So what was the impact? The impact of this resulted in additional cost and time delays for the projects and also resulted in fruitless and wasteful expenditure, specifically relating to Limpopo, Mpumalanga, and Northwest. In terms of project management, what we identified, there was no remedial, proper remedial action taken for slow progress from the contractors. You will also note that some of these infrastructure projects are being done by implementing agents on behalf of the departments, and we found that the departments are not actually properly monitoring implementing agents or the contractors for them to actually hold them accountable. Move to slide number 20. In terms of quality, what we also identified was we identified some poor workmanship at some of the projects, or some of the infrastructure projects identified for Eastern Cape, Free State, Limpopo, Northwest, Mpumalanga, Northern Cape, and Gauteng. Infrastructure utilization, we visited some of the hospitals and we found that some of the departments did not fully utilize the completed infrastructure projects. due to certain reasons not being available. This was specifically for Eastern Cape, Free State, Gauteng, Limpopo, Mpumalanga, and Northwest. The pictures at the bottom, you will see the first two pictures on the left-hand side talks about the utilization. This is exactly, as you can see, there's nothing being utilized, although the facility has been constructed and is new. So this is exactly one of the material irregularities that can come forth during the process of full implementation of a Public Audit Act, where they've actually done a full construction of a clinic or a hospital, but it's not being utilized, therefore not executing the fiduciary duty. That is definitely something that will be scoped in. Then in terms of picture 3 and 4, just talks about in terms of poor workmanship that we also identified on the right-hand side, picture 4, talking where the water is lying there and it's not actually constructed correctly. We move to the second slide, 21, speaks to about the maintenance and refurbishment. And what we identified was there was a lack of ongoing maintenance as a result of ineffective conditional assessments. There was also no evidence of actual conditional assessments being conducted. Therefore, the department is not actually knowing what to budget going forward in terms of maintenance repair. Mm-hmm. If you look at the pictures at the bottom, again, what we identified at Chris Hani Hospital in Gauteng province was a huge crack in the wall due to not being maintained. And in the middle, what we also identify, the picture in the middle speaks about where the air conditioners are not working. Therefore, the impact of this can also have an impact in on the storage of actual pharmaceuticals there, if the air cons are not working. And on the right-hand side, also the actual leaking boiler. So those were the main findings we had on infrastructure throughout all nine provinces. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Members, and through you, Chairperson. We will be taking you through the information technology outcomes, and I will be doing that with my colleague here on my left. So for information
Just repeat your name for record.
Oh, Chiri Zimpepo. Thank you so much, Honourable Members, again, and through you, Chairperson. So for information technology, we have classified our outcomes into four areas, which is on the left of the presentation there, where we will be looking at the current status of the implementation of the e-health strategy. We will then move on to the health patient registration system across the entire sector, also look at the system supporting the revenue management, and then finally we will close off by looking at the last part, which is the systems, the pharmaceutical systems. So my colleague here on my left will cover the audit outcomes. So basically for the audit outcomes, all the findings that has to do with IT, we look at it across three pillars, where we look at people, which will be the users that are using that particular system, processes supporting those, the business processes that are being supported by those systems, as well as the underlying technology that enables or support those systems. So I will hand over to my colleague here on my left to take you through the details of the finding. Thank you so much, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members. I'll go through the findings from information technology. Firstly, before I go through the findings, the reason why we look at information system is for health, in order to ensure that you have financial information, performance information, and also medical records, you need to have these systems in place so that you, if you need to report, you report from one place, right? And one of the things that we look at is e-health strategy. Just to give a high-level background of what e-health is all about, it's basically for how to automate the processes or automate the sector, right? It states that as a health sector, you need to go back to basics, looking at the IT infrastructure that's there at provinces. Where there is no infrastructure, you implement the IT infrastructure or upgrade the infrastructure that's already there. We also look at connectivity, because it doesn't assist in implementing the systems and then you don't use the system because there are challenges with connectivity. And also, we look at the basic IT literacy, because taking the systems, implementing them at facilities, and they are not being used because people that are there, they don't know how to use the system, and they are not being trained to use those systems. And lastly, the integration of systems as well. We have different provinces, we have different facilities, and it is ideal that the systems that are implemented, they talk to each other. Right. So on the first outcome on the status of implementation of e-health strategy, provincial strategies were not aligned to e-health strategy. Here what we are looking at, we have the e-health strategy, then at provinces we have IT department provincially. So for e-health strategy to be implemented at provincial departments, the initiative or the key initiative on e-health should be part of the IT strategy within departments. So there are two provinces that was not found. And secondly, e-health initiatives were not monitored for implementation by government structures. It doesn't help having those e-health strategies sitting on the IT strategy of the province and no one monitors it. So there are government structures that are at the provinces and they need to make sure that those initiatives are being monitored. One of the initiatives sitting on the e-health strategy is the implementation of the health patient registration system. So what happened here is the work was done at national and we also selected facilities at provinces. Currently, the HPRS has been implemented at clinics. So the clinics were selected and the outcomes were as follows. One big challenge that was there is the system is implemented, but there were high volumes on downtime, and as a result, the system was not being used. And when the system was not being used, the staff members were recording this manually. And when the system is up and running, there was no one that will take the information that's sitting now on the manual registers and update it on the actual HPRS system. That was one of the big challenges that was encountered when we went to the provinces. Secondly, when you go implement the system, you need to make sure that the IT controls are there. When we talk IT controls, we're talking password controls. We need to make sure that the user accounts are not being shared in order to ensure that you know who has captured that information, specifically for accountability purposes. And lastly, with HPRS, when we started last year to review this, we had a huge challenge with user account management. That's the process that is followed to create users on this system. And this was highlighted at the National Department of Health. So the National Department of Health has created user account management. The only thing that needs to be done is to communicate this to provinces for implementation. Okay, the other area that we looked at was revenue management systems. Should be highlighted that different provinces, different hospitals, they are using different systems for revenue. Example, PAP, Delta 9, Medicom, Meditech, Clinicom. So there are different systems that are being used. Findings, very high level, was identified is with password configurations. Backups were not tested for data restoration, inadequate user access management controls, high system downtime affecting the use of the system. It's coming back again. The system allows a user to have multiple sessions, insufficient system validation when admitting patients, tariffs were not updated timely. With this one, there has been an improvement because in the previous days it was a number of provinces where we have identified that the tariffs for charging patients were not updated. updated on time. And lastly, we have incorrect tariffs were uploaded. Okay, the last focus area is on the pharmaceutical systems. Again, here there are different systems that are being used by different provinces. Just to highlight findings that are here, insufficient training. The insufficient training led to the systems not being used in these provinces. Inadequate user access management controls, weak password configuration. Again, the high system downtime is coming back, resulting in the use of manual ordering of medicine. And then when the system is up and running, the information is not being updated on the system. No stock reorder levels configured on the system in Eastern Cape. Backups were not tested for data restoration, shared user account, and lastly, manual stock ordering employed, although the system was available. So on a very high level, those were IT outcomes. Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members.
Honorable Member, thank you very much. Honorable Member, may I check if this is not a food for our engagement with the Department of Health when we meet with them, because the colleagues here have done a run around in the whole country. They cannot answer on whatever we ask them. You can't take them. You can't ask them, why is that teacher not clearer than the one? Why didn't you go here? You can't dispute this. This is what they are showing as happening in the country. So I wanted just to check with you if there are any pressing comments, but I think this is a document that must assist us when we engage with the department to say, what's your progress on this matter, which we want to actually confirm that it has been raised with the department. Has it been, Mr. Chaffin? Okay. Maybe all provinces, yeah. What are the pressing questions? Must be really pressing issues. Van Staden, Mnai, and Wahube, three.
Thank you, Chair. We need to have a very, very hard discussion with the National Department about what we saw today. Because of this mismanagement and malpracticing we saw today, we're losing a lot of lives in state hospitals. And we must sort this matter out here and now before it's going further. Thanks, Chair.
And I'm sure we're losing life also in private hospitals. But let me just come, for my namesake, Chairperson, for my namesake, I'm going to focus my comment on IT. And on medical record in the life of patients is very serious. Beyond six years, that you destroy this record. Let me just come, what you have put there as a focus area for ICT is pretty much weak. Passwords, and it doesn't even bring efficiency and turn around the healthcare system. You are speaking on healthcare, you know, healthcare e-governance, you know, e-health. So the song that I've been singing all over is that, look at our government, our president speaks of fourth industrial revolution. And I'm sure you're excited about that context. So the key issue is that the department, ICASA, is getting rid of all the spectrum auctioning. And the department has not secured advanced spectrum for security for the department, for e-governance, which is the brain of the government, for e-health. So if you don't have a spectrum, you are going to speak about downtime and everything. So I'm just saying from the audit purpose point of view, spectrum is key for delivery of efficiency of the services. You know, that will be my advice in terms of putting parameters on the ICT. And I know you are trying to do something because you are called ICT department. But without the spectrum, forget it. The data of ourselves, if we have a data center, we'll be able to deliver services even in rural areas. We don't say you must go and trench for fiber. No. You can connect using satellites. But if you have a spectrum like Vodacom, you'll be, because if you don't have it, every service you must go to telecos, MTN, Vodacom, and the service will be very expensive. That was for my namesake, Comrade Chair.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Mine is one simple question. And it just relates to obviously the various nine accounting offices in the name, in the form of the HOD. Now, obviously, the picture you painted here is quite dire, with the eight other provinces, obviously with the exception of the Western Cape, but that have really performed poorly. So what I'm really trying to understand is that obviously HODs have an indirect reporting line to MECs in the province and premiers, but to what extent can the national department be held accountable for poor outcomes in the provinces? If not, also, what can be built in? Because surely, if there are certain things in the form of conditional grants, there are certain outcomes which the Department of Health nationally has a stake in, to what extent can provinces be held accountable for repeatedly performing poorly?
Those the comments. I'm also not sure. I'm also not sure whether we are correct when you say medical records after 6 years must be disposed of. Please check that in regards to the medical legal claims. As I now know, that you can't not be found. You can't be found wanting in a hospital clinic within the period of 21 years. Within 21 years, you still have to have those records. Maybe you want to revise that and say it must be archived, but to dispose them off is something that it really can't be a good advice to any health institution. Let's get your comments quickly on this one.
Answer the questions in tandem with, I think most of them also comments and a little bit more towards the department. So I think maybe the medical records one, I'll hand over to my colleague. But insofar as the HODs and the national...
While we are getting your comments, can honourable members please complete this questionnaire so that we don't delay the delegates? When they finish, they could just grab them and they leave. Thank you, sorry.
Thank you, Chair. So honourable members, see, it's not just us assessing you, you also assess us so we can also improve our processes. So we do take the feedback seriously. Thank you. So through you, Chair, the question on the HOD there are systems and processes in place. Obviously, the biggest discussion, we go back to the initial discussion that was also had with the FFC around the concurrent function, the mandate in the concurrent function. And unfortunately, those entities are entities on their own right. The stake insofar as the conditional grants are concerned, yes, it is right that in terms of the conditional grants, if those grants are not spent in line with the intended purpose, ideally there are avenues available where you can either withhold, stop, or redirect those funds. But although, again, there's not ideal situation where now something goes wrong and those funds are withheld. So we normally don't venture into that space. I think it's management to go and explore exactly, you know, what avenues are available and how they apply those avenues. But from an audit point of view, those are separate institutions and entities on their own right, and that's why we also audit them separately, but we just try and give consolidated feedback in terms of the focus area specific work that was done on it. And then there was the one on the medical records. I'll hand over to Dr. Teller to quickly provide some input.
Thank you, honourable members. We audited against the current policy and guidelines of national and provincial governments. There isn't a sort of a cross guideline for retention. There are specific medical records that should be retained for longer periods. So, for instance, the maternal health, maternity record, or records related to occupational injuries or death, there are specific guidelines in terms of how long these should be retained. Any record that does not meet those criteria, the national guideline states that after 6 years, a record can be disposed of. Provinces are starting to use electronic mechanisms for archival, which will probably be the ideal. Thank you.
Thank you, honourable members, and thank you, Chairperson, through you, Chairperson. So on the issue of spectrum, so the focus for this year was to look at the basics, the basic underlying IT. So, for example, when you look at people, are people adequately trained to be able to use those systems that are there? If you look at technology, does the department across or the sector across nationally, do they have the correct or the adequate infrastructures to be able to then support the systems that have been invested in, and the processes, have the processes been defined correctly to be able to then enable business? And definitely in terms of the fourth industrial revolution, it is something that we're looking at, and we will consider that when we look at the next financial year. So it is really in our mind. We just wanted to make sure that the basics is there, is covered, before we tend to, or we look at the fourth industrial revolution. People always say that you can't look at fourth industrial revolution when you find that people are still on first or second. So hopefully I've been able to respond to your question. Thank you.
Thank you. If you are done, thank you very much. We would like to thank you. It was really worth our spending time with you. You educated us on many things. But thanks for this provision that you have prepared for us to engage the department. We hope that next year we'll be able to speak a different language with the department, trying its best to do quite a lot on some of the suggestions. We take the recommendations that you've put to us, and we are going to engage, because you also want to check whether we're not sitting back and not doing our work. You have really given us a lot of thoughts in terms of this. You then have a great journey traveling back wherever you are. Thank you very much. Honorable members, you need to be seated back where you are at 22:03. You can take a comfort break and do whatever you do, walk about, grab whatever you find. But at 22:03, we reconvene again. Thank you.